Fwah, fwah, fwah. Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we're getting back to our roots. We are doing another Alexandra Daddario movie. Today we're doing When We First Met, which came out in 2018. And I believe it's a Netflix original. It stars Adam Devine, who is Bumper from Pitch Perfect. Alexandra Daddario, a lady named Shelley Hennig, who I don't know from anything else, and guys named Robbie Amell and Andrew Batchelor. The premise of the movie is that using a magical photo booth that sends him back in time, Noah, played by Adam Devine, relives the night he met Avery, played by Alexandra Daddario, over and over again, trying to persuade her to fall in love with him. After attending Avery and Ethan's engagement party, Ethan's played by Robbie Amell, he gets drunk and is filled with regret that he's not with Avery. He learns eventually that he can time travel with a photo booth, but only to the night that he first met her. And after each attempt at traveling back in time, he wakes up back in the present day to see how his actions that night impacted his reality 3 years later. So he decides to try to butterfly effect his way into a relationship in the future with her. And the movie is generally structured to go through his numerous attempts, failures, and realizations until ultimately he decides to travel back in time and change absolutely nothing about that night, and to live out the night exactly how it happened the first time. In total, there were 5 attempts. But the movie starts out at the engagement party of Avery and Ethan, and Avery is giving a speech with Bumper front and center. And she's telling the story about how 3 years earlier, it was, you know, a wild night that they first met. So we flash back to a Halloween party in 2014. And that's kind of the 2 time zones of the movie, right? So whenever he travels back in time, he only goes to that night in 2014, which is Halloween. And the present day is always 2017. Either November 1st, I think at some point, was it still Halloween in the future?
So they meet on Halloween and they get together November 1st. Ethan and Avery get together November 1st because it's the next day. But there's one timeline they get together the day earlier. So it's 3 years from when they get together, not when Bumper and Avery get together. So it's November 1st.
Well, so the Halloween party in 2014. Bumper and Avery seem to be hitting it off. They are in costume. Noah is Garth from Wayne's World. And Avery is dressed as Gina Davis or Dottie Henson from League of Their Own. Right. I don't know. They're having a good time. They're kind of doing some people watching at the party. And then at the end, Noah, you know, says, "Do you want to get out of here? You know, do you like jazz?" Or no, she says, "Do you want to get out of here?" She's pretty forward. And Bumper says, "Yeah, do you like jazz?" And her response to that was, "Do I like breathing?" So they go, what's up?
Yeah, no, I don't want to... So without, like, you can't really talk more about this without getting the spoilers, right? But their first interaction is kind of, like, weird in light of the rest of the movie, right?
Oh, in hindsight, totally fucking weird.
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, like, but I don't know if you want to break that open now or wait until
Let's wait a second. Okay. Let's get through this.
They go to a jazz bar where we learn Noah works as the piano man sometimes. I don't know, I guess it's shared responsibility. And then they do a photo booth, and I don't know, they're weird about standing outside of the photo booth listening to real film being developed. I don't know, it was kind of strange. And then they go back to her place, and they play foosball, they eat Cookie Crisp. He tells a story about how he got into jazz piano, and she says that she's a fundraiser for charities. So by all accounts, this girl's like his angel, like, right? She's a perfect match for him. And just as they're about to kiss, it flashes back to 2017, and we realize that actually Ethan and Avery are engaged, and it's not Bumper, and he's devastated.
Right. And then he's drunk, he's vomiting, right? We meet... Is that when we first meet Kerry?
Yeah, because she... After Bumper gets drunk and is puking in the bathroom, and Ethan and Avery are like trying to help him out, they coordinate the ride with Bumper and Kerry. Kerry is played by Shelley Hennig.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely is. And I mean, Ethan's not really a character in this movie, but Shelley is. And Shelley is just like always kind of, I don't know, unpleasant. I feel like you're supposed to get a warmness between them that I don't think is in most of the movie. Did you feel like they were friendly at all?
I think they were distant. I don't think they were, I think they had very little overlap. So I don't think we said this, but Shelley, or Kerry, is apparently best friends with Avery.
They're roommates, right?
They're fucking roommates, okay. And Bumper has been friend-zoned by Avery for this past 3 years, but they're still, like, very good friends. Friends that kiss each other on the cheek, which, you know, I think is weird in American culture. I don't know that many people do that. I think you got to be from like Italy or something to do that. But they're like Avery and Bumper are really good friends. And how could Bumper have not had somewhat of a relationship with Avery's good friend and roommate, Kerry? It felt cold. You're right. There was no warmth.
Well, in some timelines, we see the four of them sort of hang out together. I think specifically when they like go for like a jog / obstacle course run, sort of a tough mutter through the park at some point. But like these people don't seem to know each other or like each other that much, which wouldn't really matter except that like it does later, right? Like it didn't seem like it mattered until the movie told me that that wasn't the case. So I don't know.
Yeah. There is a twist to this movie.
Sort of. I mean,
and it doesn't really make any sense when you look at it in totality. Right. But anyway, so yeah, Bumper's drunk at Ethan and Avery's engagement party, and Avery tells Kerry to drive him home. So in the car, in the back seat, for some reason, which is thematic across the movie, Bumper drunkenly admits in the back seat that he wishes it had been him and Avery and not Ethan. And for some reason they end up at Noah's bar where he meets up with his friend, played by King Batch. What was his name? Max?
Max is the character's name, I believe. Yeah.
So Max is at the piano bar, I guess, waiting for Noah, or maybe he just hangs out there. I don't know. But we meet Max. Max hits on Kerry. Kerry bails pretty quickly, I think. And then the ending of that is Bumper stumbles into a photo booth, and that's when things get weird.
Right, that's like the start of the time loop.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of unbelievable stuff in this movie.
What contains a magic photo booth?
Yeah, that's not even the part that gets me, but okay. We'll get to it.
Because they do time travel in this movie, so like, I think there's a suspension of disbelief that happens.
That is not the most implausible thing that happens in this movie. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Anyway, so Bumper wakes up and he's slowly figuring out that it's 2014 because he goes to a convenience store and he sees that the newspapers say October 31st, 2014. And his actions whenever he goes to the convenience store are to walk up to the counter and order a blueberry Red Bull and a bottle of Advil. And I don't know, this kind of irked me because, like, neither of those things are going to be behind the counter, right?
Advil might be in a convenience store, right?
Yeah, but why would Red Bull be behind the fucking
fridge
counter?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he's looking at the newspaper. It says October 31st, 2014. Then he says, "Can I get a blueberry Red Bull?" And the cashier is just like, "Bro, what are you talking about? There's just Red Bull. There's no such thing as blueberry Red Bull." And I guess this is revelatory for Bumper, figuring out that he's in the past before blueberry Red Bull became a thing. So I'm not sure how much Red Bull paid when, the producers of this movie, but it comes up a bunch.
Yeah. I don't know the history of Red Bull, so that wouldn't be like my North Star for what year it was. But I guess that's a significant date for him.
It's a pretty big part of his life.
Yeah, he knew when it was. So,
So yeah, in his figuring it out, he goes and touches base with Max at Max's job, where Max is an administrative assistant / mailroom employee. Did we ever find out what he does or what his company does?
No, it does a lot of business.
They just do the business.
You get the sense that, like, they're all business guys, and they do international business because they speak Chinese.
Yep, yep.
And they have to fly around to a lot of business meetings.
But yeah, same day. Like, they'll fly out in the morning to a business meeting in a different city, fly back to that home base city, which, I don't, was it in Rhode Island? Where was this?
Yeah, because they flew to Carolina, right?
Yeah.
And then flew back to go to his own engagement party. So, yeah, it must have been in the Northeast. It's weird that they had to even fly to Carolina rather just be based there since it's such a large business hub. But I guess maybe they were up north.
Maybe they don't do the finance type of business.
Yeah. Well, it'd be impossible to tell just watching this movie. So yeah, so then we're time looping for what, 5 times, right?
Yes. Yeah, so this is technically attempt number one, because in his figuring out that he has traveled back in time and it's actually 2014, he sees Carrie out in the park photographing a vampire version of Anne from Arrested Development, who's getting engagement photos in the park. And Carrie has no idea who Bumper is. And, you know, Bumper sort of freaks her out. But he gets really excited because if Carrie doesn't know who he is, despite the fact that, you know, they've kind of known about each other for the last 3 years because Avery and Carrie were roommates, this really excites him because he finds that that's the confirmation. He's back in 2014. And he, you know, scurriedly runs away, excited that he gets an attempt to spend Halloween night with Avery one more time and see if he can right the ship.
Right. Yeah. So this doesn't work, though. Because since he met her, like, because he keeps revealing that he knows stuff about her because he's a time traveler.
Oh, you're saying whenever he finally gets to the party? Yeah, he has like all this knowledge about Avery, and he keeps letting it out in very weird fucking stalker ways.
So the thing about this movie, right, is that he had a good date with her that first night, right?
It was a great date. Couldn't have gone better. Except it just didn't end with a kiss.
How did it?
No, I think he left. He left that night. He left. Yeah, they just hugged and then he bailed.
Yeah, so he like starts changing stuff right from the beginning, all the successful stuff. And this version really only goes wrong because he had met Kerry earlier that day, right?
Yeah, if he doesn't interact with Carrie that day, then he has a great date with, or he could theoretically still have the same great date and maybe do something different, or maybe try to seal the deal, or maybe call her sooner the next day. Something to intervene because it's time sensitive, because she's going to meet Ethan the very next day. So he meets. Bumper meets Avery on October 31st. Ethan meets Avery on November 1st. So he only has this one day, one night to seal the deal and see how it plays out 3 years later.
Right. And it feels like he gives up on this path really quickly.
I think he's probably still excited about having time traveled, and maybe that's why he just fucks it up.
Right. No, but he fucks it up, right? We're all set there. But then when he goes. Like when it doesn't work because he gets, this is when he gets beat up, right?
Yes, this, I mean, that was a funny scene, right?
Yeah, I thought that like they were really good in that scene. I thought that was like one of their best work. But yeah, he gets beat up and then he sort of understands the looping mechanism, right? So then from here on, he sort of understands what's going on. And you feel like he could just take like another straightforward crack at it, but he
Yeah.
doesn't.
Instead, he gets weird with it. Yeah. I mean, why would attempt number two not be to go relive that night and just be himself? But possibly, I don't know, maybe his breath smelled, maybe change some minor things about him. Because other than that, it was a great date.
Yeah, it worked really well. But, like, she just met someone the next day. He could have just, like, bought her some cereal. Or not eaten the cereal? Isn't that, like, the issue?
That's literally, yeah, he pointed it out. He was like, oh, because later on, the reason she met Ethan is because he ate all her Cookie Crisp and she couldn't go another day without Cookie Crisp. So she went to the store the next day and that's where she met Ethan in purchasing the Cookie Crisp. Yeah, no, you're right. Had he just not eaten cereal or brought his own cereal, bring like 10 boxes of Cookie Crisp, be like, hey, you're good, you know?
Yeah, it's like how much did Cookie Crisp pay them that he fucked up his chance with Alexander Daddario because he couldn't stop eating Cookie Crisp. In every timeline, he eats the Cookie Crisp. Like, why? Either way.
Don't, it's the best late night snack. That's what Alexander
Apparently.
Daddario said.
So then he just sort of acts like a douchebag.
Yeah, so we're getting into attempt number two,
Right.
because he realizes that back in the future. Well, he just gets beat up by the house plant and understands the time loop mechanism. So, attempt number two, he goes back, and this time he decides to radically change who he is, and he asks Max, his sort of misogynistic womanizer best friend, for some tips on how to seal the
It's
deal.
weird because we've only seen this guy be unsuccessful with women, I think.
But he at least attempted. Like he hit on Carrie, right?
Right. And she wasn't interested.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, though.
Right, but he missed all the shots he does take. So it's
So
weird that this is
far.
his advice guy. Yeah.
So yeah, Max's advice is be assertive, ambitious, and be a soft asshole. Because, girls will respond to that. They want you to insult them first, and then they'll love you. They'll want your approval after that. So this is his plan. And he does it successfully, right? He's a jerk that night. Yeah. And they end up making out in the pool and then hooking up that night.
And then continuing to do so for 3 years?
Right? Yeah, yeah. So we wake up in 2017 and Bumper now has blonde tips and leather pants, but he's in bed with Avery. So seemingly it worked, except he's just a huge D-bag that wears leather pants with gold sneakers and has blonde tips. And you'd think that that's close to what he wants. Maybe if he just chose to not be a D-bag at that point, he could be like, hey, you know, I really like you as a person, and I kind of want this to develop into a relationship. So I'm going to stop being a total tool and just be like a normal person, and then we can be friends and maybe have a relationship. But he will have hooked up with her and successfully thwarted Ethan at that point, right?
Yeah, because Ethan is sort of friend-zoned now, right? Like, because they all hang out, the four of them, in this timeline.
Yeah, yeah. So after they wake up and Bumper's in Avery's bed, Ethan and Carrie come over, and they're all four friends. They're going to go for a run in the park, and Bumper says, oh yeah, I can join with my leather pants.
Yeah. And in this timeline, she doesn't seem to like him very much still. So I guess that's why they can't sort of pivot to a relationship. But that's sort of like the issue with the construction of this movie, right? Is that it takes place today, or like it takes place, you know, only on these 2 days, but not in between and seemingly not going forward. Like, you can only make changes at the first Halloween party and then never again. You just sort of are set on the path, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just an asshole. He tells Kerry that he is in love with Avery. And she says he wants a family man, which informs his next plan.
Yeah, he's going to be the white picket fence husband.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one was pretty quick. I mean, as attempt number three, his time spent in 2014, I don't know, I feel like it was only a minute and a half on screen, but he dresses up as an American flag for the Halloween party.
He's the American dream.
Oh, he's the American dream. Yeah, but he bends over backwards and tries to give Avery everything she wants, and she tries to be that suburban, or he tries to be that suburban sort of Mr. America, Mr. Suburb, so that she can have her dream life, because that's what Carrie said she wants.
Yeah. It's weird that, like, again, during this time, because it turns out at the end, they're not really happy at the end of this attempt, right? He's sort of a workaholic, and she's sort of miserable because he's always away, and then Ethan is sort of in his role from the beginning, right? They've sort of swapped places, I guess. Although she was happy with Ethan in the beginning. So, not exactly, I guess. And Carrie lives with them, I guess. So she can stay in the movie.
Yep.
He stole a promotion from Max. I don't know why. And apparently this is a job where he cannot take a half day or he will be fired immediately. There's no work-life balance in this job.
Yeah, absolutely none. But, I mean, this is the most unbelievable thing in the movie, because Max, the admin assistant mailroom employee, gets Bumper, a business school dropout, a job at the ground level as the admin assistant at this company. And in a period of 3 years, Bumper can go from admin assistant without a degree to senior vice president can't take half a day off. And there's not that sort of class mobility even in America. You know, I'm just never going to buy that.
Well, he was the American dream in this one. And he learned Mandarin from scratch in 3 years.
All while putting in the hours at work, right?
I guess maybe a lot of those hours were learning Mandarin? Because he seemed surprised that he knew Mandarin?
I think it's clear that none of the hours were spent cultivating relationships with Avery. It's sort of bare minimum effort there.
Yeah. So, like, it seems like Noah doesn't have... It seems like none of the characters really have characters that exist outside of, like, the path that they are set on in this one night. So, like, he becomes a workaholic business guy in this, like, by just deciding to one night. And he can never alter course from that when he realizes his wife is unhappy, or his, I guess, his fiance. Or him.
Yeah, you'd think he would have amassed wealth and he could just sell his assets now that he has Avery and he could start being a legitimate husband to her, you know, and quit his job, maybe take a lower paying job that gives him some flexibility and free time. And it seems like that might be a reasonable future.
Right, like, presumably he learned skills and he can do things that aren't working all the time. But that's not really, like, point of this. I guess the point is he gives, so it'd make more sense to me, I guess, if there wasn't like a definitive problem with him in this, because like in this the problem they have is that he's a workaholic, right? And yeah, he's never around, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has two cell phones and can't take a half-day PTO. He's flying to Charlotte and back same day in order to sign these international business deals.
Right, but, like, the issue I think we're supposed to, or, like, what we're supposed to come away from this is that he's just poorly matched for Avery, right?
In this timeline or just all?
In all timelines, right? Isn't that sort of, like, the twist, I guess, or like the reveal?
Yeah, and this is kind of when his tone shifts, because I think the nail in the coffin for attempt number three, even though he is in a relationship with Avery, he is successful at being the suburban husband, has the nice car, nice house. She's unhappy, but furthermore, he's not best friends with Max. He had to, like, step on Max in order to get this senior vice president position.
Yeah, he apparently stabbed him in the back. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not good.
That was my second favorite scene.
Yeah, I thought King Batch was kind of funny in this. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I only knew him as a guy who is a Vine star who pops up in stuff, so people were always a little bit, like, skeptical of him showing up in movies, but I thought he was good in this. And so, but like, it doesn't seem like, it would seem, I guess, more thematically coherent, right? If he gave her everything she wanted, but she just still wasn't happy with him. But it seems like he's just working too much. So it seems like if you wanted to, like, redo this, you would, like, try to find a balance. But he gives up on this relationship instantly and forever. As far as he knows, he has unlimited do-overs, and he just decided that he's out. He bailed.
He tried three times. That's more than one person can handle, you know?
And, like, the first attempt was barely an attempt.
Yeah, it's kind of didn't start, or kind of stopped before it got started.
Yeah, he tried douchebag himself, and he tried business guy, and then he just was like, well, those are the two things. So here we are, right?
I couldn't have just tweaked something small about myself that night. It had to be a monumental change because she is clearly upset with who I am as a person today. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems that in either of those scenarios, he hooked up with her and thwarted Ethan to a certain extent. And then, yeah, is just willing to bail on those timelines. At least in the butterfly effect, the consequences of having traveled back in time are that his best friend is like in an insane asylum, or that his best friend doesn't have legs, or that his girlfriend is a hooker, right? These are like things that you can't really come back from. But it's not the case in this movie.
Okay, I mean, but yeah, like, he seems like he gets close to what he wants. And again, if your life stopped at that moment, I guess it's not a huge success. But if you could just continue it changing, although this movie is sort of fundamentally anti-changing, so maybe that's the point, but I don't think so.
Yeah, what else from attempt three is that when he can no longer play piano, so yeah, he bailed on piano in favor of workaholism and learning Mandarin and making money, and he's no longer friends with Max. And I guess in the timeline, he's not friends with Max. That's what causes him to pull the plug on that one.
Right. So then he goes back a fourth time. And this time, he's just committed to hooking Ethan and Avery up because he thinks they want to be together.
Yeah, what's his phrase? Are they cosmic magnets, or...
I don't, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what he says?
So,
again, in the original timeline, Avery and Ethan just end up together. So, he doesn't actually need to do anything here. He still does. This is sort of like the James Bond timeline, it feels like, where, like, he changes things that he didn't need to because everything went the way he intended. Using the original path, because now he's fine with Avery and Ethan being together. But that's not actually the important part of this loop, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he does nothing, if he doesn't go to the party at all, does Avery still meet Ethan?
Well, but he could just go as Goth, right?
Yeah.
And just do the first night again.
Yeah, he could hit reset.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's just trying to hook them up without ever getting involved with her at all in order to spare himself, maybe. Although, it seems like he retains some amount of memories. I don't either. Here nor there. But in this timeline, we basically find out all the things he liked about Avery were actually Carrie?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with the outfit, right? Because Ethan and Avery are having a conversation at the Halloween party. And this was something that Bumper bonded with Avery early on because she was dressed as Dottie Henson and he got it. And then whenever Avery's talking to Ethan during attempt number four, she admits, oh, this is my roommate's outfit. I didn't have anything, so she just gave this to me. And then the other, I think, critical piece of information is that on the first night, it's not, in fact, Avery that is the huge jazz fan, but Carrie. And I just don't know what...
I think she also says she hasn't even seen A League of Her Own.
Yeah. That too. So she's just a complete fraud on the first night that they met, right? Avery is. And she's just posing as all the interests of her friend and roommate, Carrie.
But she does like jazz, or no?
I think she does. I think she grew an appreciation for jazz at the hands of Carrie. But
right, but that's not like she's not like a fake fan at that point. It's just like her friend introduced her to something.
And how, over the past 3 years, like in the normal timeline, in the first timeline, did Bumper not realize that he had so much in common with Carrie? Why did they not hit it off?
Yeah, so that's sort of what I've been hinting at, right? And like the fundamental issue I have with this movie is that the middle 3 years, even in the original timeline, don't really exist. Like, he never seemed to find out that Avery doesn't have anything in common with him, because they become good friends. Like, in the original timeline, they're good friends. So, it doesn't make sense. And it seems like his connection with her was very superficial, but I don't think that's what we were supposed to be getting at the beginning. I mean, it was because they just like the same, like, pop culture stuff, but that's also his connection with Carrie. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he likes the same movies as Avery, but he has some deeper connection with Carrie. It's like he thought he liked the same things as Avery, but those were actually Carrie's things. So I couldn't understand what we were supposed to get out of that, unless we think Avery was just lying to try to seduce him before she met another guy the next day and then hung out with him for 3 years still.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just he didn't ask the right questions at the Halloween party.
Yeah, so when I was watching it again, I kind of looked for that to see if, like, in like a sixth sense sort of way, it would make sense if, you know, she said things that he interpreted as liking it, but not, you know, like, liking those things, but not, you know, but he, you know, and he just sort of read into it, but she didn't really commit to anything. But I think she volunteers that she likes Count Basie and that she's Gina Davis's character in League of Their Own. Which seems like, you know, she was genuinely interested in those things. Not like it just seemed like she was, because she was wearing the... It wasn't like she was wearing the costume and he was like, oh, you're from a League of Your Own. And, she, you know, he said the character and she was like, oh, yeah, I guess. It was like, you know, she had additional information to volunteer,
despite having never seen it.
Yeah, and... I don't know, like, you, as long as you only exist on these 2 days, it's fine, but it doesn't make sense that none of this stuff came up in the middle 3 years, that, like, he, and, like, is he still friends with Avery? Like, he's still friends with her, so it's, like, it's not like they were two incompatible people, it was just they weren't in love, which is different, I think.
Yeah, he just got friend-zoned.
Also, it says Carrie sewed the costume herself. I don't know why she sewed it in a completely different woman's size. Because these two women are not the same
They
shape.
Aren't?
Right?
Well, I mean, one's on the chestier side. Is the other very frail? Is Carrie very frail?
I mean, she doesn't fill out her Kobe Bryant jersey. There's a couple things in this movie that, like, this came out in 2018. It seems like things didn't age super well. But they, because she's wearing she's a Dunkin' Donut at the party. She's wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. And they also in when he's being a douchebag, he asked, "Are you dressed as a tranny or something?"
That
but
was...
then she's and he's supposed to be a douchebag, but she does sleep with him and remain friends with him for 3 years.
Wait, but Carrie was dressed as Kobe Bryant and the Dunkin' Donut.
Yes.
And Avery was always Dottie Henson, and he asked Avery if she was dressed as a, what'd you say, tranny?
A tranny, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the timeline that she does sleep with him, and he has frosted tips. Like, in 2018, I don't think people are still saying tranny. And I know this takes place in 2014, but, like, they made the movie. You know?
Yeah, but do you not think that in 2018, tranny is something that a D-bag might say?
No. Not in, like, a movie. Well, like, I think you don't say stuff. Like, even your bad characters, especially bad characters, supposed to be, like, sympathetic. Like, he's supposed to be douchey, but not, like, a bad guy. I think that more plays as he's, like, not a good guy. Not just kind of douchey. You know?
Gotcha.
I was just surprised to hear that in a relatively recent movie. But yeah, so anyways, they go back and what happened?
For attempt number four?
Yeah, so this is an attempt number four.
And he goes and just finds Ethan, and Ethan's like, "Who are you?" And he doesn't care. Bumper's like, "No, you gotta come to this party and meet Avery." So yeah, that's when Avery and Ethan meet. They have a good time, and Bumper ends up having to hang out with Carrie all night, and he keeps learning more and more things about her that are actually Carrie's interests and not Avery. So he's like turning over a new leaf, and maybe he's considering pursuing Carrie. Maybe Carrie is his soulmate if Avery and Ethan are just magnets that are always going to end up together.
Right. So he goes back again, right?
Because
so in the fourth attempt, he goes back to look for Carrie, but she got back with her ex. And I guess it's over then. So he has to go back another time. And Avery bought him the photo booth in this one?
Yeah.
It seems like they're friends.
Yeah.
But they're the type of friends who know nothing about each other in any timeline. Even though he's lived this timeline 10 times or whatever, they know nothing about each other.
Would you say there are 5 3-year plot holes in this movie?
Yeah. It just... I don't know. It's sort of like that thing where people are having a conversation and then they drive to a new place and they pick up the conversation that they were just having at the first place. But since you don't see them driving in the movie, you're sort of fine with them just continuing the next sentence of the conversation. But it's as if they sat in silence for a 30-minute drive. And this is like all the characters didn't sit in stasis, but like the steering wheels of their lives were just ripped off and they were just on cruise control until this engagement party every time. Right?
Yeah.
And also, even in their original timeline, before they were time travelers, I guess only he's a time traveler, he doesn't seem to know. There's only 4 other people in his life, and he just doesn't seem to know that much about him, even after 3 years. You know?
Yeah, if he's good friends with Avery, and Avery is dating Ethan, presumably Bumper would have gotten to know Ethan over the last 3 years.
Or even Avery, or Kerry. Like, he just doesn't seem to know any of them.
Yeah, I don't. It's impressive how he can be. Maybe he only hangs out with Avery and doesn't say anything to her. And they just, like, I don't know, sit and watch movies together.
But not a leak of their own.
But not a leak, never.
Because then it would have come up if she hadn't seen it before.
It could have. Could have. No guarantee. Yeah.
So then he resets and decides to live his life exactly as he did before.
Yeah, he goes back to pre-time machine, like, chooses to have a good first date that ends in him getting friend-zoned with Avery.
Right. And then has a 3-year friendship with her. And presumably Ethan and Carrie. So the only thing he's learned is that he's not in love with Avery. He's actually in love with Carrie.
I don't think that's true.
No.
I think he learned that he's never going to end up with Avery in any healthy sort of way, and that he's generally interested in Carrie.
Okay. Okay. So, but why couldn't he go back and use that knowledge early? Like, why does attempt 4 go awry? Do we know? Because Terry got back with her ex?
Yeah, at the party in attempt 4, whenever he's hanging out with Carrie, he points out Jello Shot Guy, who is, in all the other attempts, somebody that Carrie hooked up with that night. And we later learn that Jello Shot Guy is actually Carrie's ex-boyfriend. They had recently broken up before that Halloween party, and then they made out at that Halloween party. And then in every other timeline, that relationship fizzled and Jello Shot Guy is no longer a thing. And in the one time where Bumper and Carrie spend a lot of time on Halloween, that's the timeline where she goes back and gets with Jello Shot Guy.
Right. Yeah. It seems like if he... In some ways, it feels like the movie is telling us you can't change things because some things are meant to happen. Right?
Yeah. Every attempt he has a consequence. And that's, I guess, why he chooses to go back and do it the same way.
But in other ways, it's telling us that, like, because he is different at the end of this one than he was at the start of the movie, because he's decided to pursue Carrie, which is only something he learned through this time travel, that they had anything in common, because they never talked about jazz in the 3 years they knew each other, even though he worked at a jazz bar. Just never came up. But
never. Yeah, never. That's astonishing. Whenever Avery, friends with Bumper, was like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with Bumper, Carrie never once asked, oh, where are you going? Is it a jazz bar? Because I love jazz. Never happened. They never went to that jazz bar together.
Yeah, even though I guess we're talking about the original time. Like, yeah, because he worked there. And, like, in all the timelines, that's a pretty foundational place. Like, he, in one, she bought him the photo booth,
which was at the piano bar.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's impossible to say. And then I guess he's the end of the movie is sort of him gonna pursue a relationship with Carrie.
Yeah, and I guess they have a relationship that blossoms and they live happily ever after.
Right? Yeah. Seems like it.
Yeah, but why would he not have made any progress in that 3 years?
Right, so, the thing is, in none of the timelines does it seem like she likes him. I mean, in one she thinks she's a stalker. In the original one, she seems to kind of pity him, but I guess maybe because he's so focused on Avery, he's never, like, been open to the possibilities of other people, maybe?
Yeah, and maybe she's picked up on that.
The lesson?
That begs the question, if he focuses solely on Avery, how is she going to be willing to just, start dating her best friend and roommate's long-term pursuer? Is that going to really work out? Like, can she just flip the switch? How has she not formed an opinion of him?
Yeah, in the final timeline is the idea that the first night played out the same, but then he had the knowledge that he was supposed to not pursue Avery? Or has he been sort of pining over Avery for these 3 years, but now he just knows he can get over it at this moment in order to, because Carrie's also an option, but she wasn't for those last 3 years. Right?
Yeah, I think that whenever he factory reset it, he did everything the same over the last 3 years, and he pursued Avery the whole time.
Right. So his relationship with Carrie is both the changed person, but also was a person who would do everything the same as if he was not a changed person.
Yeah. Yep.
Because again, the only actions that define your character are what happens on Halloween 2014.
Yes. And in 2014, if he knows that he will one day pursue Carrie, it begs the question, why wouldn't he have pursued Carrie in the 3 years since 2014 if changing the scope of that night could result in him learning Mandarin and getting a new job and quitting piano or becoming a giant douchebag and that became his life? How did it not impact his life?
Just a full-time douchebag. Yeah, like, he could have asked Carrie about jazz in those 3 years.
Having the new information, yeah. Having this new interest in Carrie.
Did, like, at no point these people have a gathering and someone plugged in their iPod? How did these people know nothing about each other after 3 years?
I have no idea.
It drives me nuts.
I think iPods were not a thing.
iPods are definitely a thing.
Are they still a thing?
He looks at her iPod.
In 2017?
Or iPhone, or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Someone takes the aux cable and does whatever.
Yeah, I don't have these answers, but it is baffling. Still not the most baffling thing about this movie, but...
Well, yeah, so at some point she gives him the iPhone and is like, here is all my Apple Music, and it's all jazz. And he works at... Yeah, I don't know, so... In general, I thought this movie was, like, cute, but, like, so I just didn't think him and Carrie worked at all for that to be the thing. I think it works better if there is no Carrie.
At all?
She can be there, but, like, he just isn't in a relationship with her and, like, never pursues it and never wants to. Because they don't seem to have any chemistry in any of the timelines. At least not romantic. Or even friendly, you know?
Yeah.
It's not even like... So, I imagine a version, right? Where he's pining after Avery, but because they've all hung out, he's sort of very friendly with Carrie. Because they have so many shared interests, and because maybe they're cosmically drawn to each other, but he's not accepting of that because he's focused on Avery, right?
Yeah.
But what actually happens in the movie is he's focused on Avery, he hangs out with her and Ethan and Carrie, to the point where they all do know each other. Like, they're not meeting each other at this engagement party at the beginning. But they don't have a relationship, you know?
Yeah, I think they explain that. Because in attempt number four,
okay,
isn't that when he hangs out with Carrie that night and learns all this new stuff about her. And then they wake up in 2017 and Max is the big time exec again. And they just had like a rager of a party. And Bumper has to go over to find Avery, who's with Jello Shot Guy. Like, this is the one time
Carrie's it didn't... Jello Shot Guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Carrie's with Jello Shot Guy. This is the one time it didn't work out.
So in that one, he hooked them up the day before. So I think he goes over looking for the engagement party. But it's actually... It was the day before because they had met the day before. So he just finds Carrie and she's with Jello Shot Guy. Right?
Yeah, and I guess in that time... Yeah, the one timeline he hits it off with Carrie, that's when she gets back with Jello Shot Guy.
Yes. I don't know why, because she just met a new guy that night.
Yeah, who seemingly had a lot of shared interests. And
it
would,
seems
would...
like out of all these timelines, this would be the one she's least likely to get back with Rex, because she met a new guy she liked. Because again, like, the whole movie seems to, like, you really just have to pretend those 3 years don't exist. You know?
Yeah. Because if they existed in any real way, there's no way that 2017... I mean... Yeah. It both has an impact and doesn't impact it at all. Or just impacts it in a very specific way. Such that it works for the movie. Your actions on Halloween of 2014.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I agree with you. It was a cute movie. I guess I don't regret having watched it, but I don't think I'd watch it again. Yeah, that's a tough one. As far as D'Addario movies, Total Nephew, I think she could have done a lot better. That being said, you know, this movie had a couple funny scenes, like the smashing Bumper with a tree scene was just fantastic. Max saying that he backstabbed him, that scene is also great. So I think there's reasons to watch this, but as far as the D'Addario movies are concerned, Nephew, yeah. How about
you? So I like her in the like original timeline parts when she has a character, which gets undercut later because you find out she was sort of maybe faking at the beginning. But like when they're together at the beginning, they seem like fun and charming together. But then in every other timeline, she's just sort of like doing exposition of what happened in the last 3 years. And she never gets to be a character because he's sort of time travel manipulating her all the time. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't think she was super well used. And it's tough to say what her character was. Because everything we know about her is that she, you know, League of Your Own, Jazz, and she organizes benefits for charity. So she seems just like a really nice person. Right? That's sort of like what you're supposed to get out of that. And she has fun with him at the beginning. But then, you know, it's just sort of, you just can never, you know, she can never be that character for the rest of the movie, right? She's just always sort of telling him what happened over the last 3 years. I think until he goes back, yeah, up to when he gets beat up by the tree, I think I really like the movie. You know, when he goes back and they think he's a stalker and they beat him up. I think, like, it's really fun up till then. And I think after that, it gets a little off the rails. And I don't like him ending up with Carrie. But yeah, like, I don't know. It was cute. there's only so bad a movie can be if it's really low stakes to me, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've watched it a couple times, so I can't say. So, I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Did you give it a rating? It's a 6.4 on IMDb, 43% rotten.
Yeah, you know, I really like rom-coms. So if I had to give it like an up or down, I'd give it an uncle. Because the point is to see these people be fun and charming. And I think the cast is all pretty good. I think that's what you're looking for in a rom-com, is just like, is the cast generally pleasant to watch? And I think they are, you know.
So I told Jess that I was, you know, picking up the Daddario movies again, and she said, have there been any good rom-coms in the last decade? And we didn't really do much exploration, but I wanted to ask you, like, if there's a rom-com from the last 10 years that is a standout, you know, what would it be?
A rom-com that she's in?
No, just across the board. Like, just started citing Legally Blonde or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, 10 Things I Hate About You. And it's just like, those are rom-coms from when she was in her early teen years.
So the most recent rom-com, and one that's sort of reset expectations at the box office, is Anybody But You, with Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
Never saw that one, but maybe I should watch it.
I think it's pretty good. I saw it in theaters and thought it was pretty good. It's like one of these that's similar, where you're just watching it for the characters, I think. But it's sort of, so for a long time, there weren't a lot of theatrical rom-coms, like sort of mid-budget rom-coms. You see a lot of them on like Netflix.
Yeah.
Or like streaming stuff that sort of, and I guess this, you know, the one when we first met was sort of a Netflix one. But this, so Anybody But You was sort of like the first one in a while that was a, like a studio theatrical release rom-com that made a ton of money.
Hmm.
So that'd be an interesting one if we're looking into that.
I think we're on a path, and I think we stay on that path.
Okay. Okay, all right, I think that's it for us, right?
Yeah, all good. Fire, 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 fire!